Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
Family that's going through crisis, things like this, you know, it can bring about anxiety. We get anxious over health issues. There's billions and billions of dollars being made to try to do away with the feeling and the emotion of anxiety. Pills that are being taken every day, addictive pills that are being offered, and they're all temporary, partial solutions to a problem that God can deliver us from. So we tend to be anxious about health issues. Finances is another root of anxiety. If we're not careful and we're focusing on things and we're not factoring God in our finances and seeking His word and seeking His counsel, there can be tremendous anxiety or worry over finances. Sometimes people are anxious about their future. Even Christians get anxious about their future. And the way they view Scripture, and what does our future look like, and is God able to provide? Is He able to protect? Is He able to deliver? And it can bring about a certain anxiety when we consider the future. People get anxious about their jobs, or the workplace, or their environment, or their boss, or the way they're treated at work, and there can be a root of anxiety. Safety. Now with the, you know, I don't know about you, but I get these text alerts from Fox News and other newscasts, and there's always a terrorist attack going on. There's always something that's happening, and you can get anxious if you're going to climb on a plane. You can get anxious if you get in a bus. You can get anxious when you go into a crowded building, if you're going to a concert, if you're going to some, you can wonder when you go into the mall. If you're not careful, anxiety will just build and build and build until it overtakes you. It robs us of our peace. You can't be anxious and peaceful at the same time. They're diametrically opposed. It will steal your joy. It can destroy our health. You know, anxiety, if it isn't processed right, if it isn't dealt with, will have physical effects on you. It will have emotional effects. It will affect your mind. It will affect your thinking, which will in turn affect our health. It can stir up high blood pressure. It can cause ulcers. It can cause all kinds of physical problems if we're immersed in anxiety. Amen? So it can affect us physically. It can affect us emotionally and spiritually. It's rooted in hopelessness and fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And when we get, it's one thing to have anxiety come and we recognize it, and then we immediately begin to do what God told us to do with the anxiety. We're not going to avoid it hitting us. We're not going to avoid it coming into our lives. But what we do, whether we let it gain entrance, whether it begins to shape our thinking, whether it launches fear and hopelessness in our life, and then we begin to react, you make huge decisions, sometimes financial decisions, out of anxiety. We need to know how to handle it, what to do with worry, what to do with anxiety. The issue isn't, are we ever going to get worried? Are we ever going to be anxious? There's no condemnation. The issue is, do we do what God says to do when it comes? It can make us look for other things to kill the pain. Pain pills, drugs, alcohol, which can in turn lead to addictions and more problems and more anxiety. It's a downward spiral if it's not handled right. It robs us of the quality of life the Lord desires for us. It can make us speak things that can hurt us or others. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What we say can have a powerful effect on our lives and the lives of others. We're either, when we speak, we're imparting life or death. We're contributing to their peace or to their fear. Amen? Or our peace or our fear. Have you ever been around somebody that tends to be negative? They're just negative by nature. You get around them long enough, and pretty soon you start speaking what they're speaking. You start thinking the way they think. And it starts to affect your outlook on your own life. You could go in totally peaceful and full of joy and come out wondering if you're going to make it the next day, depending on the level of negativity that's being imparted. Job 20 and verse 2 says, therefore, my anxious thoughts make me, what kind of thoughts? Anxious thoughts make me answer because of the turmoil within me. In other words, he was about to speak and he was about to offer counsel to Job because he was all anxious about Job's situation. He was all in turmoil over it. And do you know most of the counsel that Job received wasn't God? It was his anxiety, it was the turmoil in him that made him speak, and it was counterproductive to what Job needed. Amen? Anxiety and worry can be dangerous. In fact, in Proverbs 12 and verse 25, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I'm trusting you're going to hear a good word this morning that will make you glad. Amen? That will drive anxiety, any anxiety you might be wrestling with, that it would drive it out of you, any fear. Fear has torment. Any worry that you have about today on into the future. Amen. We're going to believe God that His truth will prevail. Amen. And by a good word, you'll leave here glad today. That's what I'm praying. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7, here's one of the things that the word of the Lord tells us to do when we get to overcome anxiety, what to do in place of letting anxiety rule and reign in our life. He says, blessed is the man. This is Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. This is tremendously important. In other words, who we are trusting in ultimately with our lives. Who holds our future? Who holds our hope? Who holds our destiny? Who's the one that created us? The creator of heavens and earth and all that there is therein, the seas and everything in them. He's saying, listen, there's a blessing for the man who trusts in the Lord. He didn't say there's anxiety for the man who trusts in the Lord. He doesn't say you're going to worry if you trust in the Lord. He said there's a blessing. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Amen. When we lose hope, we get anxious. We lose our peace. When we are fearful, you cannot be trusted in God and be fearful at the same time. At that moment, fear is ruling in your heart. At that moment, anxiety is being produced. Amen. That will rob you of your joy and your peace. But Jeremiah says here, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. And then in verse 8 it says, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not what? Fear. See, when we trust in God, it removes fear, which is what our anxiety and is rooted in. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by waters which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be, what? anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. What's he saying? He gives us a picture here of a tree that's in the heat of the season. It's like, remember last year we had a drought. Maine, I think we've gone way past that this year, but last year it was, you know, wells were going dry, people were worried, it was dry, it was a drought for the Northeast, and he said, look, even in that time in your life, if you got a drought in your life, if you're having a hard time, if you don't know how you're gonna get through, you don't know where the supply is coming from, where the provision's coming from, you don't know if you can get over this hurt, you don't know if you can get over this pain, you don't know if you can ever get rid of this rejection, you don't know if you can ever break the power of the addiction over your life, whatever it is that you're struggling with, that's what that heat represents. He says, but I'm like when you trust in the Lord, you're like a tree planted by water. That even in the heat, even in the heat of life, even in the best the devil can throw at you, your roots will go deep, you'll tap into that river, and you'll bear fruit, even in the heat. You see, the fruitfulness in our life shouldn't be dependent on what we're going through. The fruit is of the Spirit of God. It's what we got of God on board. Amen? In fact, sometimes the most difficult things we go through can produce the most fruit. So we want to be like those trees that are planted by waters, which spread out its roots by the river. In other words, we tap into the source of the river of God, where it doesn't matter what happens to us, what kind of heat we face in life, how the devil cranks up the heat in our life, or things that we find ourselves facing, God says, your leaf will be green and you'll produce fruit. How do we get there? It's one thing to realize that we all deal with anxiety. It's another thing to, you know, realize we have worries, and they try to kindle on us, and it can affect our attitude. It can affect whether we want to get out of bed. It can affect whether we want to face life for that day or not, or whether we want to shut our phones off and crawl under the bed and hide until we feel better. You know, it can affect, you know, so much of our life. But how do we get to the place of recognizing when the anxiety is trying to kindle on us, to a place where we absolutely trust the Lord, where our roots go deep, where we tap into the river of God, and even in the heat of life, the most difficult drought that we could face in life, our leaves stay green, amen, and we keep bearing fruit. How do we get from that anxious state to that place of fruitfulness? How do we get to the place where we trust the Lord? Where we hope in Him? Is that just a decision we make? Is it something that we can just decide and we're there? It starts with decisions. Amen? Decisions of faith, decisions to honor God's word, to position ourselves for blessing, for the quickening of the Holy Spirit, and the overcoming of the things that are trying to attack us. But there's a process. Jesus teaches on this, and then Paul speaks on it later in Philippians, we're going to look at. But in Luke chapter 12, and this is the similar, it's a parallel passage to Matthew 6. And that one probably would be more familiar to you. But Luke adds some things in this teaching of seeking first the kingdom of God that you don't see in Matthew. And then Matthew adds something, which I'll tell you what it is, that Luke doesn't. They have their own personalities when they're writing. But this is the same time when Jesus was ministering. And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "And one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him," Jesus responding to him, said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." Now in America, we're blessed. If you go to a third world country, you see what's out there where maybe $50, $75 is the wages for a year. We're blessed. Even the poorest of America are blessed. But I like what Jesus does here. This man comes to him, and he says, listen, I want you to tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. I want you to, and Jesus immediately goes to the root of his problem. He says, who made me an arbiter? It's not up to me to tell him to give you part of the inheritance. He said, but here's what I will tell you. Watch out for covetousness. That will hurt you more than not getting the inheritance. That could have a greater effect on your life than not receiving part of the inheritance. He says, because, and this is the principle here, life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Material things cannot make you happy. They might make your life more comfortable. They might make it more busy. They might do all kinds of things. But it doesn't necessarily make us more happy. Our peace and our joy is rooted in God. It's in the love of God. It's in the grace of God. It's in the character and nature of God. Amen? And so material things, that's why so many wealthy people and famous people, how many do you hear dying of overdoses all the time? So obviously material things isn't a problem. And many of them, they lose everything once they get it. Now, I couldn't imagine being under that kind of pressure. I thank God I'm not some famous preacher even. Amen. I like Buxton. I like this community. I love all you. And this is good for me right here. And the thing is, though, the material things isn't the answer to their life. The material things isn't really satisfying them. Because life isn't in the abundance of things that we possess. The life is in the Son. It says in 1 John, the life is in the Son. It's in our relationship with God. It's in an intimate relationship with God where life flows to life and back to life. And we've got this circle of life, as you will. And it's us and the Lord. Amen? That's where life is. Life is in the Son. It's not in the abundance of things that we possess. And then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, how many of you ever think within yourself? Amen. He thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? His ground super produced, amen, exceedingly abundantly above. And he goes, now what do I do? I don't have enough room to store all my crops. What would you do at that point? What would I do at that point? I'd start sowing. Amen. I'd start blessing people. Amen. I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that God would give us the grace where I'm not going to just build bigger barns to hold more for me. There's other people out there with needs. And I'm going to sow in it. And I bet if we sowed, guess what would happen the next year when we planted? We'd probably have to give more away. Amen. It's how the kingdom works. This is what he's talking about. And we'll get to this in just a minute. He's talking about transitioning and shifting from a natural mindset that is limited to man and its abilities and what we can do to a kingdom mindset that taps into the supernatural power of the living God. And we can choose where we're going to live. Amen? We can choose what government will rule our life. Is it the kingdom of God or is it man's government? So he speaks this parable. So this is the guy's response. He said, so I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. Now, the way man looked at that and the way he processed that, I prospered so much this year, I'll just tear down my, I'll just build bigger ones. And I will say to my soul, soul, I love this language. We don't, you know, when we talk about people, well, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, thinking to ourselves, we don't say, well, I was said to my soul, soul. You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to kick back. I'm all set. Built bigger barns, they're full. But God said to him, fool. See, there was a language discrepancy here. He said, soul. God said, fool. See, different governments, different language, different outlook, different perspective on his decision. Amen? How many of you know, when you're saying soul, you better hope God isn't saying fool. Amen? You want to know what God's saying, what to do in certain circumstances, in certain situations in your life. Now, he's doing this. This is a drastic example, but it really kind of clarifies things on what approach we take in our thinking when something tries to kindle on us. This case, it was covetousness that was robbing him of his peace, that was robbing him of his joy, robbing him of his relationship with his brother. God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these things be for which you have provided? Who's going to get it now? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know there's a wealth towards God. The Bible talks about the riches of Christ, the riches of his grace. Amen. There's a wealth, a kingdom wealth that God wants us to tap into, and you don't have to have any money to tap into it. Amen. It's a wealth that flows from the atonement of Jesus Christ. It's a wealth that flows from the cross. It's a wealth that he's already paid for with his own life. And he says, I'm going to make you joint heirs. I'm going to let you hide in me. I'm going to place you in me. Your life is hid with me in Christ. Amen. And you're going to be joint heirs. And there's a kingdom wealth that transcends every other wealth. May bring material wealth, may not. Doesn't matter. Amen. Being in the center of God's will is the most wealthy place you'll ever find yourself. Can I say that again? Being in the center of God's will with the peace of God ruling and reigning in your heart, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter if 1,000 fall by your side or 10,000 by your other side. God will keep you. Amen. And you will walk in peace. And you will walk in joy. Try to buy peace. Try to buy joy. You know that commercial where they say, this costs this, then this is priceless. We could do a commercial here this morning. Amen? God wants us to rule. He wants peace to rule and reign in our hearts. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God wants us to be rich toward him. Then he said to his disciples, therefore, he said, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Remember, he said, therefore, he spoke a parable. And now he's saying, therefore, again. He spoke the parable based on the question that was asked him about an inheritance. So he teaches him about covetousness. You got to watch it. And he speaks the parable to this man. And then now he speaks to his disciples. He said, therefore, based on what I've already said, he says, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Or do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food. And the body is more than clothing. Amen? It's more than food. It's more than clothing. It's more than the biggest sales. It's more than the biggest meal. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither storehouse or barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than birds? Do you know God values you? You need to value yourself in the light of God's value of you. Amen. I need to do the same. You know, sometimes we can get so low, we can get so depressed, we can get so discouraged that we think about anything has more value than us. That's a lie. That's because anxiety and fear are taking over, because our hope is fleeing away. We need to see ourselves from God's perspective, because that's the truth. And which of you, in verse 25, by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? When you study that out in the Greek, it means, in other words, there's nothing profitable about worrying, about being anxious. It isn't going to extend your life. It's not going to make you any taller. There's absolutely no benefit from anxiety or worry. He said, if you are not able to do the least, which of you anxious, why are you anxious for the rest? He goes, you can't really do anything anyway apart from me. So why do you get anxious about the rest? In verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. People traveled all around the world. Rulers traveled all around the world to hear Solomon and to see the kingdom that he had established, and the technology, and and his clothes, and his servants, and all his silverware, and all the things that he made. It was beyond everybody's reference points, and everybody that saw it was in awe of the wisdom of God that he had put in Solomon, and what Solomon had created from that wisdom. And he said, Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. God spoke it came into existence. And he provides for it. If God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have any anxious mind. There it is. Nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. In other words, that's the government of the world. It's the government of human nature. That's what they seek after. But he says, seek. He says, it isn't that we don't need these things. He says, and your Father knows the things that you need of, what you have need of. Amen? He knows what you need. He knows that you need these things. And he's saying, God will provide. But here's where our focus needs to be. This is how we get to the place where we begin to trust in him and have our hope in him. He says, but seek. That's a process. He says, seek the kingdom of God. In Matthew, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? He says, seek the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. And Matthew also adds, he adds, seek first, and he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, being found in Christ, being the righteousness of God in Christ, that positions you for all the blessings that you need, all the provision that you need. All these things. All these things. All these things that you need, he said, I'll add it unto you. I love this in verse 32. There it is again. Do not what? Be anxious for nothing. He says, don't fear. He says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, I think sometimes our view of God is skewed. We feel like when God says to seek or to press in, or when God, that's for our benefit, getting through the flesh and getting through all the distractions and getting to the place where we're serious with God. And God's there waiting all the time. The seeking and the pressing in and the asking and the knocking is getting through all the junk in our life and our mindsets that would hinder us from the presence. It isn't that God is somehow withholding, trying to get us to seek more and try to ask more and try to knock more and try to press in more. No, he goes, you got to ask. You got to get through the junk in your life. You got to start asking me instead of everybody else. You got to start trusting in the kingdom government and rule in your life and not the natural or the way of men. He said, you got to seek. You got to knock. You got to press in. You got to, in other words, get through the hindrances, the distractions. In fact, another word, it's interesting, the root word in worry or anxiety is distraction. One of the purposes of the enemy to make you anxious and make you worry is to distract you. It will steal your faith and rend us powerless. It comes from a root word meaning distraction. It was interesting when I studied this out. I thought, man, no wonder it's such a cultural problem, even in our churches. Now, no condemnation. There's people that really, really wrestle with anxiety, and it is real with them. They wrestle with depression. There's no condemnation. I mean, this is something that's very real. But what gets us out of it is believing the truth of God's word, being immersed in the truth of God's word, letting the truth have more influence over our thinking and the way we process, which will in turn change the way we act. Amen? Having the truth of God, God's saying, listen, in perspective, he goes, look at the birds, look at the grass, look at the lilies in the field, look at, who takes care of them? Aren't you more valuable than them? I'm going to make sure you're all right. If you trust me, if you seek first the kingdom, my government in your life, my rule, my reign, my realm, I'll take care of my kids. Do you want to take care of your kids? Did you want, parents here, man, you'd do anything to take care of your kids. Amen? How much more will God, if we be an evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God take care of us if we dare to trust him? And dare to believe him. Not only that, we have this mindset of God like he's up in heaven just shooting lightning bolts down every time we make mistakes. He's just waiting for us to trip up so that he can do us in, or because of the way we view ourselves many times. But you know what the word of God, you know what the truth is? It's your father's, it's your daddy's good pleasure to give you the king. Now, kingdom is a lot bigger than just a few material things. God's kingdom inhabits eternity. Of his kingdom, there is no end. You cannot get enough revelation. In our natural, I wish I had the words to describe this to you, what God's impressing on me right now about living in the light of the kingdom of God. And not in the natural. Having our eyes, having our focus on the King of the kingdom. Amen. What's the kingdom of God? It's any place in our life that we allow Jesus to be king. Really, it's surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's believing his word over our circumstances. It's believing his word over every lie. It's embracing the truth, kingdom truth, over the accusations of anybody else, including the devil. And even yourself. Some of us, we just shoot a hole in our own boat. We don't need anybody to take us down. Amen? I highly recommend we don't do that. Life expectancy and the joy that we experience is a lot greater if we don't shoot a hole in our own boat. Do not fear, little flock. It's your Father. Everybody say with me, good pleasure. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and all that that represents. It's Sell what you have, he says, and give alms. The other guy built bigger barns. Remember? Said to his soul, well, let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Let's kick back. Here's how you really prosper in the kingdom. Sell what you have, give it away, provide for yourselves money with bags that do not grow old, a treasures in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. Amen. We have the riches of Christ. We have treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, and this is the crux of the matter, there your heart will be also. You know, I think all God needs to do, and I've heard people say this, all I need to do is look at your checkbook, and I can tell you what's a priority in your life. Just look at your bank statement, e-statements. You know, many people don't even use checkbooks now, I guess. But look at your bank statement. I can tell you what's a priority in your life. What has your heart? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. See, so what you're investing in, what you're spending on, what you're doing with the resources that God has provided, will tell where your heart is. I didn't say it. God did. Amen. It's in the book. Same with me. It's same with everybody. Amen. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what you really worship. That's what I really worship. Is there anything that means more to you than your money? Does the Lord mean more to you? Amen. You ever notice in the scripture, I find this interesting, when God says you cannot worship two masters, God or mammon, there's actually a spirit of mammon, you know, spirit that goes along with it. You can feel it in banks sometimes. You literally can sense it. People are a lot more reverent in a bank than they are in a sanctuary. They make their kids mind. They don't let them run around. They keep them close. They'll keep them. They walk up to the altar. It's worshipped. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying money's worshipped. It's a big thing. And where are? See, God's interested in our heart, and what we're investing in is a reflection of the heart. And I was saying, Jesus, when he taught, he said, you can't worship two masters, God or money. He didn't say God or Buddha, God or Allah, God or Confucius, God or the other million gods that India worships and many other countries worship. He didn't name one other god. He knew in every language, every tongue, every kingdom, every nation, there's one God that will be ruled over, that will be worshipped more than every other god, including him. If you live in a third world country and you got a dirt floor, you covet a wood floor. If you got it, no matter where you go, it's a problem. God dealing with the issues of the heart, and what's really here is it's worldwide. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we get some real practical answers on how to navigate through anxiety to freedom. There's other things we can do rather than dwell on our anxiety or whether to focus on our fear and our hopelessness. There's other things that we can choose to and let our mind engage our mind in. That's a very powerful thing that we have as believers, is the power to choose. I've set before you life and death, he said. Blessing and cursing. Choose life. If you can get this, I'm telling you this morning, folks, if you can get this in your spirit, that you, amen, by God's grace, are in control of your choices. You can choose to let your past define your present and your future. You can choose to continually make good decisions or bad decisions. We have the power to choose. We have such a powerful will in our choice. We can say no to the living God who made us, or we can run to Him and say, "You're the one for me. I want your kingdom. I want your life. I want your joy. I want your peace." We can choose. We have the opportunity to choose. In Philippians, God makes a very interesting statement here in verse 6. He says, "Be anxious for what?" That was easy to say, wasn't it? "Be anxious for nothing." Now, if God is a just God, He would not make that statement without giving us the tools to be able to do that. I would like to say my life is anxiety-free and worry-free. That would be a lie. I'm preaching to me this morning just like I am you, all right? I don't want you to think that for 1 minute that my life is not without anxieties and fears, that I don't have to wrestle through. That's why I study it. A lot of the things that I preach to you is because I've had to study it to get victory over it. Amen? And I've had people say, "Man, the word seems so real to you. When you pray, it seems so real to you. It seems, well, that's because that's the only thing I know to go. It's the only thing that's ever worked." Amen. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us. If you want to be steadfast and you want to stand, you have got to let the truth of God's word, His nature and His character, prevail over every circumstance, over every situation. You'll be called on the carpet for some. People won't understand. It doesn't matter. You've got to please an audience of one. And sometimes we'll mess up. But He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." In other words, those things that you tend to be anxious about, those things that tend to trip you up or rob you of your joy, of your peace, He says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." What is He saying? He says, take your anxiety, take your fear, take your cares, take them to someone who can do something about it. His name is Jesus. Amen? He says, listen, take them to God. Pray, supplicate, with thanksgiving. See, that's the faith factor. We can take things to God and we can cry out until we're blue in the face. But if we don't believe God's going to do anything with them, we'll be in a perpetual state of crying out and never receiving. You believe that you have received, then you receive. Amen? That's how faith works. So God gives us an opportunity, a window, an avenue for faith to work here. He says, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving. You can't be thankful if you don't think it's going to happen. It's hard to be thankful when you are anxious and you are fearful and you're pouring out your heart before God and you're in over your head, or somebody you care about and you love deeply is in over their head and you don't know if they're going to make it through, and you cry out for victory in their life to God, and then you start worshiping Him and you start thanking Him for that victory. Man, that moves all heaven in your behalf. God looks at that, He says, they believe it. Nothing's changed in their life and they're thanking me. Nothing's changed in their circumstance, in their situation, and they're worshiping me. Nothing's changed. They've cried out to me, they've supplicated, they've entreated me, and now they're thanking me for the victory. I tell you, He'll move heaven and earth to meet you in that place. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now notice the byproduct of the fruit of handling anxiety. Remember, He's in the context here is anxiety. He says, be anxious for nothing, but instead of the anxiety, pray. Take it to God. Instead of the anxiety, supplicate. Instead of the anxiety, worship. Well, how can I do that if I'm anxious? That's when you got to do it. Amen. That's what turns your heart. That's what turns your thinking. That's what gives you a different mindset. That's what elevates you above your problem. This is what Jesus did when he walked on the water. He was elevated above the natural circumstances and situations in his life. The best the devil could throw at him. The wind and the waves were boisterous. The disciples were afraid they were going down, and Jesus comes walking on the water. It's prophetic. If you've got eyes to see and ears to hear, this is what's available to us, folks. How? Choosing. I'm gonna go to God. I'm gonna tell him all about it. And I'm gonna worship him, and I'm gonna thank him for the victory. And I'm gonna let him do it his way. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't come the way we think. But it will be victorious if you follow the process. This is the only way I know to download anxiety and fear, to cast it on Jesus. It's the only thing that I know that works. I've read lots of books. I've studied lots of things. But somebody that can get a hold of this by faith, it will revolutionize their life. It will transform their life. My life. Amen? I know. Now, the byproduct of doing that, taking it to the Lord through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, in other words, beyond anything you could ever understand, will guard your hearts and minds, hearts and minds. You don't get any better than that. Will guard your heart and your mind. Those are the battlegrounds, folks. That's where the enemy gets in. That's where we lose the battles. That's what cripples us and robs us of our joy. Amen. He said, I'll have the peace of God which surpasses all your understanding. In other words, it won't make sense why in the turmoil that you're in you got so much peace. It won't make sense when you got to do difficult things. I had to do my dad's funeral. I had to do my mom's funeral. I had to do my grandmother's funeral. First three funerals I did were infants. I'd only been to one funeral in my life. I thought, God, how am I going to do this? I could see the brokenness. I could see they were literally newborn babies. How do you give hope to someone that's, and you cry out to God, and you believe God, and it's the only hope you got. You showed up, you got to do it, and you get up there, and you have a peace and a grace. It doesn't mean you're not compassionate. It doesn't mean you don't feel. It doesn't mean you don't get emotional, but God's grace will get you through it. There's been numbers and numbers of other things that I've gone through where I've seen the peace of God that was beyond anything I could ever understand or ever explain. It just undergirded. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That word guard in the Greek, I love it. It literally means to be a watcher in advance. To mount a guard as a sentinel, like posts or a sentinel post or spies at gates. Figuratively, it means to hem in, to protect, to keep with a garrison. It's literally a military term. God says, if you focus on me, if you trust me, if you put your hope in me, you put all your eggs in my basket. He said, listen, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to place a military guard, a spiritual military guard around your heart, around your mind. I'll put my garrisons around there, and the peace that passes all understanding will carry you through, and nothing will be able to rob you of it. I know that some of the anxiety that people deal with, I am the most compassionate when I see people struggling with that, because it's a horrible thing to have to live with. People don't want it. Amen. When they come, it isn't like people want to live with these things, whether it be a fear, whether it be anxiety, you know, whatever torment is there, people want to be free. But I'm telling you, I don't care how bad it is, how deeply rooted it's in your spirit, if it's generational in your family, it doesn't matter. The power of God's word and the truth will prevail over it, and over the process of time, God will set you free. if you choose to believe. Then he says in verse 8, I'm going to close with verse 8 and 9. He says, finally, brethren, remember, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. He goes, finally, brethren. Now, this is something that we need to do. This is something how we can activate our faith and stay free from anxiety. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know, most anxiety is rooted in a lie, or it's rooted in something that hasn't happened yet, and you don't really even know if it's going to. There's a fear of what might happen, and most of the time, I think I read a statistic once, 80% of the things that people worry about, no, 85% of the things that people worry about never happen. And the other 15 are gone anyway. My dad says, so why worry about it? But do you realize we wasted 85% of our mind, our time, our energy, our health, our whatever else that cripples us, amen, on something that never really ever was going to happen? We just, in our fear, we projected that, and we got anxious about it, we got worried about it, and it never happened. I was amazed when I read that statistic. That was years ago. It could have changed. Might be up to 95 now. I don't know. I got an idea it's going the other way. But he says, listen, here's what I want you to focus on, the truth. Whatsoever things are true, where's the truth? What's God say about your situation? Not your feelings, not your emotions, not your grandmother, not your aunts, not your uncles, not your... Unless they're speaking the truth. You know, sometimes you just got to shut yourself out to every voice but God's. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure... You're starting to get the message? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or excellence, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen. He says it's a choice, what you meditate on, what you think about, what you take into your spirit. He goes, all those words that he gave there, there's got to be something we can find that we can change the avenue of our thinking, our mindset, and focus it on something true, something good, something praiseworthy, something, amen? And when you, what you focus on, what you're looking at, is where you're going to head. Amen? I got a problem when I drive. I like to look for deer. I like to look for animals. And every once in a while, you get the rocks under the car. Whoops, you know, you got to get back on the road. Because you're going to head the direction you're looking. Amen? That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. If you're focusing on your problem, if you're focusing upon your issue, well, this is the way I've been all my life. This must be the way I am. This is the way I'm wired. This is the way... Well, you're going to live with it the rest of your life. You got faith for that. If you say, wait a minute, God's Word says, I don't need to think like this. God's Word says that I can be free. He said, if I put my trust in Him and I got my hope in Him, and if I come to Him in prayer and supplication, if I begin to worship Him and focus on the truth of His Word and get immersed and immerse my mind in it, immerse my spirit in it, man, that gets inside of me. I can be free. I can be healed. I can be delivered. I don't need to be somebody's victim. I don't need to be under the weight of all this anxiety and fear. I don't need to suffer through all these fears that I have, because He's greater than every fear, than every torment, than every past, than every pill, than every anxiety, whatever it is. People look to those things because they all want the same thing. They want peace. They want joy. They want a reason to keep living. And Jesus said, I'm Him. True, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. That isn't just read it. There's a difference between meditating and reading. Most people read the Bible. in their lives aren't really affected that much. It's not the Bible's fault. Amen? You can't approach the Bible like every other book. God wants to speak to you. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Read it. There's times when I read one verse and that's all I can do for the day. And I just, man, God is just starting to unravel that thing. And I meditate on it, and I meditate on it. And then other scriptures will start coming that have to do with it. And then pretty soon you're on a trail that brings life. Amen? I mean, do you realize if we just did just a little bit of what the Word of God says, if we acted like we believed it, Hebrews 11:6, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Do you diligently seek him? If you diligently seek him, I know you believe it. We believe it because God said it. Yeah, and that's an element of truth. But if we are pressing in and we're diligently seeking, we can expect to be rewarded. And God's rewards will supersede any other reward. It will be life-changing. Amen? So God's given us a list of things here that you'll find in his word, in his nature, in his character. Things that are true. He said, who will believe my report in Isaiah 53? Who will believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To the one who believes his report. Amen. Revelation comes by faith, just like anything else in God. And as God begins to reveal things to you, your faith increases. And you begin to meditate on these things. And God says, when you start doing that, he said, I'm going to set a guard up. A military guard around your heart. Because peace is going to be, what you're going to get now, instead of anxiety, instead of anxiousness, instead of worry, you're going to get peace. And once that peace enters, I'm going to put a guard there. Around your heart and around your mind. Amen. God wants to bless. He wants us to walk in victory, regardless of what we go through. Find something that's a good report. Find something that's excellent, that's virtuous. Find anything that's praiseworthy and focus on that. Don't look at the wind and the waves. Look at the master of the wind and the waves. It says, these things which you have learned and what? Received. There it is. These things which you have learned and received and heard and saw. Amen. There's a connection here. Paul was putting on display the very thing that he was teaching. In me, he said, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know other people need you to model this for them? Amen. You know some people that are anxious? You know some people that are fearful? Maybe you don't struggle with that, but you know people that are, and you're burdened for them. You love them. You want to see them get set free. Here's some things you can teach them. And here's some things you can live before them as a testimony of his peace, of his goodness, of his faithfulness. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Lord. The worship ministry comes. I want to pray for everybody here. I know God gave me this message. And I know it's something that we all battle. Some more than others. And that's okay. No condemnation. We're not here to condemn. We're here to get people set free. Amen. No judgment. Amen. Just the truth. Just the truth. If you continue in my word, he says, you'll know the truth, and then fasten your seatbelt, because the truth will set you free. Amen. Then it's onward and upward. You'll be launched like in a rocket. Amen. Towards the presence and purposes and will and purposes of God. Amen. I know some of you have tasted it. Some of you have experienced it in here this morning. And God wants to bring you into a new level of it. A new level. You know, new levels is new devils. And then we get more revelation and more faith and we get more victory. Amen? All right, if God spoke to you this morning and you realize that maybe you haven't been processing your anxiety the way God has instructed, but now you've seen it. Now you've seen and you know what God's told us to do. If that's you this morning and you want to demonstrate your faith by worshiping God through prayer and supplication, I want each one of you to bring whatever anxiety, whatever worry, whatever's on your heart right now. I don't know what's on all your hearts. There's things that you've never spoken to anybody that is so close to you. In fact, you've even kind of lost sight of it. You've been able to bury it so deep. God wants to go there this morning. Some of you are going to dwell on the truth of the power of God's forgiveness. And you're going to receive the forgiveness of God in your life. Some of you are going to see the power of God's forgiveness as you choose to forgive others by faith. It's going to release you. Amen. And there's others that you wrestle with anxiety. You wrestle with fear. It doesn't take a whole lot to upset your emotional apple cart. And then you start to get nervous and you start to get anxious and emotions start running out of control. Amen. I've had it happen. I've been there. We're not here condemning. I can't emphasize that enough. We're here to tell you there's a better way. And the only thing I dare to tell you is what I know works. Amen. God's word will not return to him void. It will accomplish what he sent it to accomplish in your life and my life this morning. If that's you, lift your hands and hearts towards heaven and let's pray together. God, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I don't know everybody's anxiety. I don't know everybody's fear here this morning, but you do. I don't know what people are afraid of. I don't know, Lord God, all the various attacks and generational curses and family issues that are upon each one. God, I know some, but I don't know them all. But God, I believe you want to touch everybody in this place this morning in a powerful way. God, I believe you desire for every man, woman, and child in this place to have a fresh encounter with you. God, I pray that you would bring a level of freedom and anointing, Lord God, into this place this morning. God, that hope would be imparted. That people would not leave here under more condemnation on why they battled this, but God, that they would leave with a new hope. God, that they would leave with a fresh hope, a fresh expectancy. God, that the things they meditate on, they've heard here today, God, in your word, and that by prayer and supplication, God, it doesn't mean we got to pray for days and praise for hours without stopping. It doesn't mean, God, we've got to cast ourselves down, but God, just a life of prayer, a life of supplication, a life of worship and thanksgiving. God, focusing on the positive, focusing on the good reports, focusing on the virtue, focusing on your justice, focusing, God, on your abilities, in your promises, in your truth, in your word. God, we choose life this morning. We choose to believe your report and your report only. We choose to be immersed in your goodness. We choose the grace of God. God, this morning, we choose your military guard around our hearts and our minds. Whatever it is that you may be anxious about this morning, right now, just give it to him. Just give it to him. Amen. Lay it at the foot of the cross and choose the truth. Speak the truth over that situation. And watch the power of God begin to move on your behalf. God, we release, Lord, every yoke destroying anointing over this place. God, until we walk in a freedom that's not our own, a freedom that's beyond our explanation, a freedom that's beyond our understanding, a peace that's beyond our understanding, the love of God, which is beyond our understanding. God, fill everyone here this morning with the fullness of God. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit here this morning and that you would fill everyone in this place with the fullness of God, that you would strengthen us with your might by your Spirit in our inner man, and that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I speak freedom over every anxious heart here this morning. I speak freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's worship Him and thank Him. Amen for the freedom He gives.